program, you can bring up anything via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site, they're free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. As we were wrapping up the last hour of the program, for those of you just tuning in, Renee called in from North Carolina to tell us that Cindy Sheehan is apparently running for Congress against Nancy, whatever her name is. And she was pointing out that during the Ron Paul campaign, a lot of people that had considered themselves Democrats got very, very excited about the things that Ron Paul was saying. And, you know, they got behind the Ron Paul campaign, and there was all this wonderful grassroots, decentralized campaign activity, like the money bombs and all this other stuff, the blimp, stuff that was completely generated by the activists themselves, and the campaign itself had no actual input whatsoever into as far as determining what was going to happen. And it was a wonderful example of the effectiveness of decentralism, and it's still something I think that people will be looking back at for examples of what to do on into the future. So Ron Paul's campaign, great success, and Renee was right that a lot of people did cross over, if you will, to vote and support Ron Paul, to vote for and support Ron Paul. And she then suggested that, well, Cindy Sheehan should also be one of these crossover candidates, that Cindy Sheehan, you know, Republicans need to cross over and get behind her because it's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about, well, I don't know what she was suggesting it was about, but her suggestion was the personality of Cindy Sheehan would be preferable to Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives. And you were backing her up on that, and you're probably right about that. I mean, well, Cindy Sheehan is probably
Nancy
better.
Pelosi has a great deal of power. She's the Speaker of the House. Cindy Sheehan would walk in as a freshman. So all I'm proposing is, and you support downsized D.C., and
I do.
Read the Bills Act, which you know would hamstring Congress, right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Cindy Sheehan would, to a small extent, hamstring Congress, because it's likely we're going to have a Democratic Congress anyway. You put a new speaker in there, they're not going to be, they're not going to have the experience that Nancy does. She's had a few years to get used to it now.
Yeah.
Cindy Sheehan certainly wouldn't be that speaker. So that's all I'm saying.
It just seems like a whole lot of effort for very, very little actual change. As I pointed out before, you couldn't name the person who replaced Bob Barr, who was one of the worst.
I don't know that proves anything.
Who was one of the worst people. That
I can't, you know, and Bob Barr's not in there. You got rid of one of the worst people in the drug war.
But the drug war's still going on, Mark. So, I mean, what you're talking about here is a lot of effort and a lot of money and time being spent on a candidate that doesn't even understand what liberty is. So I wanted to make sure that I was right about my conclusion there that Cindy Sheehan doesn't get it. And so I figured I'd go to her website and check her issues page to see what it is that she has to say about the issues. Because as I pointed out, I'm still not yet 100% over voting. If a candidate's really exciting and interesting.
She's in San Francisco. I don't think that Ron Paul's message is going to resonate real loud in San Francisco.
Whatever.
I think that it will to some extent. Certainly there'll be some people who are very excited about it.
I don't care about San Francisco. I care about my money and my finances and who I'm going to back. I backed Ron Paul because he had a message that I thought people should hear.
Nancy Pelosi's from San Francisco, and she's pushing an agenda that is going to attempt to take people like your money. Obviously you're not paying any, but you know, they're going to be pushing that agenda that spends the money.
Yeah, and so does Cindy Sheehan. She's a big government person,
she's
too,
going
Mark.
To be less effective at it.
Again, you're arguing for a whole lot of effort being put into electing somebody that's just going to, you know, not do anything to gum up the system.
I'll agree that there are a lot of Ron Paul, Ron Paul type candidates out there that we could be supporting too. But
all I'm telling you, Mark, is I don't care about how good she does in San Francisco. What Renee was trying to do was convince people like me.
Mm-hmm.
To get behind, and I'm not a Republican, I want to point that out at all, but to get behind this particular candidate because she's somehow worthwhile. And I'm sorry, she's not any more worthwhile than any other incumbent, but challenger to an incumbent in any of the races across the country. Here's what she says on her website. What does Cindy Sheehan stand for? You know, stop me when you're done with her, Mark, because it's
I'm
going to keep going
I've
down
already
this list.
Looked. I mean,
single payer health care, second issue on her list.
Yep.
Universal,
not good.
Forced health care, everybody forced to have government health care. Free education.
Where's she at on the war?
Well, of course she's anti-war.
But is Cindy Sheehan?
Well, so are... Yes, Cindy Sheehan
is
anti-war.
Is Nancy Pelosi?
I have no idea.
Well,
but we
Nancy
know that
Pelosi
a bunch of
didn't
Democrats,
do a very good job as the Speaker of the House of getting us out, and so
we know that
go.
All the Democrats that got elected brand new in 2006 were talking about
maybe
how anti-war they were.
That's the plank she's running on. These Democrats are crappy.
I don't care about her one issue, Mark. I'm not a one-issue voter if I'm going to vote at all. You've got to really motivate me. And going down this list, I am anything but motivated. Free education, meaning government, wealth redistribution to pay for awful government schools. How about this one, Mark? Regulating the media. She says that the media conglomerates are able to manipulate the media and destroy local programming.
You win.
This has prevented the public from getting independent news and information, particularly on the effects of deregulation, privatization, and war. I will oppose multiple ownership of newspaper, cable, broadcast, internet, and all other media operations. Multiple ownership of internet operations. I can't have two news websites? I mean, that's what that sounds like. Anyway, she says, I'll require that all license holders of commercial TV and radio stations carry and promote local programming with stiff penalties, including loss of licenses if they violate these rules. I'll also support revoking their licenses if they have a record of violating local, state, and federal labor laws by illegally firing and discriminating against workers for union activities. I also support federal funding for public, labor, community, broadcast, and internet systems, including Wi-Fi and other technologies. So she wants to, you know, set up more of those city-run Wi-Fi programs that have worked so well.
Disasters.
There's more. For stopping, she is for stopping deregulation and privatization. Well, I could go into the details there, but why bother? And she is for, let's see, a national energy system. That sounds kind of scary. As well as a mass transit system, she says.
Oh,
that,
good. Buses out in the middle of nowhere.
Listen to this. The growing environmental...
Carrying no one.
Yep, and energy crisis cannot be solved under private ownership of the energy companies. We need a mass transportation system administered by public labor community boards throughout the United States. Yeah, you want me to get excited by this?
I'm done.
You want me to rally behind this candidate? Look, if you've got a message, it's just like I said.
She hit me in the gut with the with the media thing. So.
If you've got a message that's different, that's unique, that excites people, you don't have to beg people to get behind you. You just have to say, hey, check this guy out. This is exciting. Or this check out. This is really awesome what this person is talking about. And Ron Paul had that exciting, pro-liberty, principled message that was very... mostly principle, that was really, really significantly different from any other candidate in the race. Cindy Sheehan, just another run-of-the-mill Democrat challenging the incumbent. That's all. 800-259-9231, but she should be congratulated for her efforts at civil disobedience. I liked that kind of stuff. That was neat. That's why we had her on the show.
She'd still probably be better than Pelosi.
Whoopie-doo. All right, let's continue with your calls. Nick in Illinois is on the amp line. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Listening to you guys kind of talk, especially with that last caller, this collaboration thing with other people, it kind of scares me with other groups. I'm going to give you three examples of why you should aim to be ideologically pure. España, Italia, and the United States colonies.
I don't get it.
All three examples. In all three, well, I'll explain.
I should hope.
All three examples with revolutions in those countries, with Spain, with Franco, Italia after the World War II, overthrowing Mussolini, and obviously with the U.S. colonies in the American Revolution, all three had anarchist groups. All three anarchist groups collaborated with a different group, basically statist, but a little better statist than what was previously.
Okay. And the anarchists you're talking about there are not real anarchists. They're like anarcho-syndicalist, anarcho-communist types, right?
Well, I don't know what you mean by not a real anarchist, but anyways.
Well, I'll explain to you if you'd like.
Yeah, please. Okay. Go ahead. What's that mean?
Well, a real anarchist thinks that they, has some grand vision for how one of these anarcho-communists has some sort of grand vision for how the world's going to be, and I don't know exactly how they intend to get there, but they do believe in no government. So an anarcho-syndicalist believes, that they'll have a bunch of little towns around, little city-states, where people will all get along, and they'll all decide to...
That's not what an anarcho-syndicalist is, but... At least that's not what this anarcho-syndicalist is, because I am an anarcho-syndicalist.
All right, now I need to know what the hell this anarcho-syndicalist thing means, because I've accepted your definition up until this point, Mark, and we'll see what what Nick has to say here in a moment, which, again, you know, one of these, this is one of the reasons why I don't consider myself an anarchist. It's not that I don't believe in rules. I think rules are great. I think private property is great. I'm a voluntarist. I think that's less confusing to everybody. And it doesn't align you with the Joker. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
Paul, you write about a God who's incredibly compassionate in the face of real human brokenness. Is he really that good?
You know, most of my life I didn't think so. And it was because from the very beginning I painted God with, unfortunately, the face of my own father. And for my father, it was all about performance, and it was all about trying to be better and do better and just striving to meet up with enough so that I might get some affection and grace and love on his part, which didn't happen. And so a lot of times our relationship with God is based on that same kind of idea that God is angry. You know what? God is so much better and bigger and more loving than we can imagine.
And I think that's the story of Scripture. It starts from the very beginning. You say creation got broken, and God's involved in it now to bring it to healing and wholeness, not to walk around like an angry sheriff with a big stick.
For more information on the New York Times best-selling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks is the most talked about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, Clyde.
What's up, Bonnie?
Well, I got a question about those shielded secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold.
Yeah, the sleeves that block us from stealing account numbers from the new credit cards with RFID chips. What about them?
Well, I mentioned them to our friends, and they went info on purchasing the secure sleeves.
Oh, Bonnie, if everyone starts hearing about the secure sleeve, it'll destroy our plan to steal credit card numbers at the mall with my new RFID reader.
I know, but these are friends, Clyde. They promised not to tell anyone else.
I guess you're right. That's what friends are for, I suppose. Tell them they can get a 5-pack of secure sleeves that will fit credit cards and driver's licenses for $19.95. And Identity Stronghold also has a 3-pack of secure sleeves for passport books for $14.95.
And where do they buy them?
They can buy them online or get a mail-in order form at idstronghold.com.
idstronghold.com. Okay, well, what if they don't have the internet?
They can call 1-800-610-2770. That's 800-610-2770.
Thanks, Clyde.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up anything via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away. And they include the archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, just click and download it right there on the front page of the website. And they're totally free. They go back for an entire year, by the way. That's a whole lot of free MP3s for you at freetalklive.com.
Travel less and meet online. Try WebEx for free. Go to WebEx.com, enter promo code 600, and start your free trial of WebEx today. That's WebEx, W-E-B-E-X.com, and enter promo code 600. You can start your free trial of WebEx today and find out how to get your free webcam.
All right, as we continue with your calls, and Nick is still hanging on, he brought up the term. Well, first you were talking about anarchists helping out with a political campaign, and I know you had an ultimate point to make about that, so I want to make sure we get to that.
I didn't really want to get into the definition.
But I want to know now what an anarcho-syndicalist is by your definition.
I'm going to explain that. Basically, this just goes into defining myself. I define myself as an individualist anarchist. I'm not afraid to use the word anarchist. In fact, I embrace it. I like the word anarchist, and I'll use it a lot. I mean, I just like to identify myself with anarchism, and if people think that that's chaos, then I'll explain to them that it's not. I'm not chaotic, so if you ever see me, I'm a pretty well-dressed guy. I come from a pretty wealthy family, so I'm not an anarchist in the sense of a joker.
Gotcha.
However, about anarcho-syndicalism, I would find myself as an individualist anarchist with significant leanings towards mutualism. Mutualism is a economic theory developed by Pierre-José Proudhon. P.J. Proudhon basically kind of goes into anarcho-syndicalism, not totally, but kind of in there with workers' co-ops, and I think that from a point of efficiency, many industries could be benefited by moving into a more co-op version where individuals own their means of production but in collective so that they kind of share the cost but retain all the profit for themselves. That
so an employee-owned business, basically?
Basically something like that. I mean, it's still individually based. It's just that let's say you have one carpenter. One carpenter can see a great deal of benefit in getting together with a bunch of other other carpenters and creating a cooperative out of that. He might see that there is a higher incentive to do that as opposed to working under a boss contractor.
Yeah, so, I could see that would be. I mean, the more incentive that's built in for the people working at any given place, the more likely they are to be happy and, stick around. I mean, if they're getting paid based on performance rather than getting paid based hourly, it just you get better workers out of that situation. But at the same time, I mean, you got to be real careful. There was a restaurant over in Brattleboro that recently shut down where it was communally run, and they were sharing all the profits. So really, I guess it depends on how you set it up, huh?
Right. I mean, there are plenty of examples of that, and there are plenty of examples of individually based private companies that are not co-ops going out of business, too. So it all depends on the individual example.
Before you go on, you mentioned Proudhon, and his big famous quote that I recall is "property is theft." What do you think about that?
Yes, he said property is theft, but in his book "What Is Property," he also said property is impossible and property is freedom. What Proudhon is referring to when he says property is theft is the property of his time, which was property basically drawn out from the quote unquote feudal era. Where kings would give large pieces of land to noblemen who had never worked on the land, never even seen land, and that was called property. That is what he was referring to when he said property is theft. That type of property is theft.
Oh, however, interesting.
The property that is not theft is the property that is legitimately homesteaded. That is property that I take with my own hands from the ground and create or contract for. That is liberation property. That's just something to kind of chew on.
I still don't know if I quite understand anarcho-syndicalism. Is that where, I mean, is that inherently tied into the idea of this worker co-owning
cooperatives, yeah,
thing?
Yeah, basically. That's why I would call myself an anarcho-syndicalist, because I believe in many industries there is a efficiency quality towards co-oping with other individuals. It minimizes the bureaucracy that you tend to find in large corporations.
But would I still be free? I mean, I would still be free to own my own business and hire people.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Of course you would.
Okay.
However, I think that some people might find it more advantageous and find more incentive in going into a cooperative.
I think that you'll. I think that many anarcho-syndicalists would deviate with your sort of plan of things.
That's what a lot of people tell me. But honestly, talking to, because my family is from Italia, whenever I go back there, which I do often, when I talk to most Italians, because if you go to an Italian village, you're going to find an anarchist. When I talk to them about my ideas, they're very receptive. And that's what I was getting at the Italian anarchists and Spanish anarchists, because there is a strong, strong history of individualist anarchism within those two southern European countries. Now, there are a lot of theories about that, basically because it was more agrarian. You would be farther out, and you could kind of see that you're just an individual. There was a lot more intuitiveness for individualist anarchism as opposed to anarcho-communism from Peter Kropotkin, which I think is often too many times confused with a different type of anarchism that is often...
Okay, I think we're getting too scholarly at this point. So
yeah,
let's get back to your original point about you said the anarchists were helping with political campaigns?
Well, what was happening in these revolutions, obviously these revolutions were not political in nature. They didn't go through the system. They were overthrowing the government. And in all of these situations, what seems to occur is that they would align with other kind of like-minded groups, and they would go on to overthrow the government. But after they overthrew the government, all these groups backstabbed the anarchists. And that is my fear, that if you align with other groups, you have to watch out. You have to be careful. These minarchists, the reformists, the Ron Paul people, I have no doubt in my mind that once there is a liberation, they will turn around and stab you in the back. The American Revolution, for example, John Adams, he was a radical in the beginning, allied with Samuel Adams and Thomas Jefferson. With the establishment of the United States, the Articles of Confederation, he started to work with James Madison and all the other what are now known as Federalists to instate the awful document known as the United States Constitution, which was, for all intents and purposes, a coup d'etat.
Now, it was my understanding that it was Sam Adams that was the big liberty guy. It was my understanding that Sam Adams was the big liberty guy, not John Adams.
Yeah, Sam. Did I say
you said John? Okay, John. Sam Adams was stabbed by John, and who was the other?
James Madison. And all the other Federalists, Alexander Hamilton. What occurred because of this revolution was that the Tories and the conservatives stabbed them in the back, and that is what my concern.
Well,
is
it's
for.
I think it's a legitimate concern, and I thank you for the call. I mean, it is politics, and these people are seeking power for a reason. They say it's to reduce the size of the state, and maybe they mean that in a few areas, but they always have their favorite government programs that they want to increase. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Fat burners. I like the sound of that. Fat burners. Life change fat burners. When fat burners are used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you're going to see a change in your life. Maybe you'll be a movie star. Maybe you'll drive NASCAR. Maybe you'll be a lion tamer. Well, maybe not a lion tamer. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And don't forget to ask about our Mid-State Fair special. That's getthetea.com.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports is suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secret of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want toll free at 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo, prove they listen to the show. You'll see them all at shrine.freetalklive.com. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. And do you have a company or know of a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you'd like to keep your clients, too. SACL CAI. Check out their banner right there at the top of our website at freetalklive.com. That, again, SACL CAI. As we continue with your calls, and we go to Dave, listening to WAIS in Ohio. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Hearing on the radio the other day, I heard that China doesn't treat people with disabilities very right.
Mm. What do you mean by that? What do they do?
They give them menial jobs.
Menial labor.
And I heard that they were afraid of NGOs or non-governmental organizations.
I wouldn't doubt that. Huh? I mean, obviously they want to control as much as they possibly can.
Huh? I've been watching.
I can't imagine it's real good for somebody with disabilities over there, but, it's a lot of governments don't treat them people with disabilities particularly well.
I'm thinking there needs to be something done on the individual level.
Like what?
Like urging advocates to speak up against the harm that our government's doing to us.
Man, I think it's a good idea. I don't know how successful it'll be in China, where they've got an absolute lockdown on the media there. I mean, if you start reporting
somebody's
going to
start it somewhere.
Well, I understand that. And there are a lot of people trying to speak out about various different issues in China, and they're dealing with a very oppressive regime that, you know, if you question the communist government there publicly, they could come down on you. I mean, they have approval boards, as I understand it. They've got, you know, the newspaper editors have to essentially submit to some sort of censor. I mean, there's a censor above the editor, basically, like a Chinese government censor, that is the end-all be-all of what gets printed over there. So
what's that is it's what we're becoming, too.
Well, certainly the government people at the United States government are fast becoming more and more like the Chinese. You're absolutely right. And, Dave, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate the concern. And I agree with the sentiment, and I think that the Internet's going to be an important key to helping China free information over in China. I mean, certainly we already know from Gene, the Christian anarchist, who's called in a few times. He's visited China and always calls us from there and, you know, tells us about some of the stuff that goes on. We've also heard other stories about how you can get unfiltered Internet access in China. It is possible. You know, you have to know the right Internet cafe to go to, and they have to know you. And, you know, it's kind of an underground thing. I mean, basically it's black market Internet access, but it does exist. And as long as there are those channels where people can get that outside information that they're looking for, and they can get those alternate opinions than what they're being force-fed by the Chinese state-run press, then that will help spur the ideas that are necessary to get into people's heads to start questioning their system over there and, I don't know, bring it all down. Certainly the Chinese government isn't what it used to be. I mean, it's at least they're not exterminating the mentally challenged people over there like some other regimes might deem it appropriate to do. So it could be worse, and it has been worse in China, especially with their economic situation, which is much improving today. It's not perfect. It's not a free marketplace, and the government is still involved very heavily at a lot of, you know, with a lot of the business, a lot of state-run businesses there in China. But all that said, it's much easier to do some economic activities in China than it is here in America. I mean, to just go and set up shop somewhere probably doesn't require begging bureaucratic permission.
Well, certainly not in Hong Kong, but I'm not sure that that's true everywhere.
Yeah, I can't speak for you know, all of all
if you
of China,
imagine
but
building a big building where you're going to be doing stuff, I imagine that you're going to have to ask all kind of permission.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Setting
I was
up a shack
like
someplace
yeah,
is something different.
That's what I meant. Yeah, just, you know, something small, something that the average person can reach. But here in America, it might be difficult because then you have to beg for permission to open up your store, whereas you may not have to there. So there's some differences, and, you know, they've definitely changed a lot over the last few decades, and I would say it's for the better, but that's still not saying very much. 800-259-9231 is the number for you. This email came in from Mike about the whole controversy last week in regards to the conspiracy, the fringe conspiracy promoters calling this radio program. He says, Ian and Mark, I've always thought it was tragic and unproductive the way that you two, mainly Ian, piss off conspiracy kooks. First, let me
I usually just be quiet, because, but I can't say that I am not implicit in this. I can definitely am.
First of all, let me say up front that although I think the controlled demolition truth movement is crackpot, I find or as we now call it, fringe. I find alternative investigations into secret history that follow the trails of government assassins, patsies, and money to be extremely interesting. Although I agree completely with Ian when he says that the hidden history of government conspiracies doesn't matter at all compared to the matter all out in the open of institutionalized crimes of the state. Why worry about who ordered the JFK hit or 9/11 when we should be fighting the universally loved crimes of standing armies, fiat money, and taxation? Not to mention the police state. But it's as absurd as it is to listen to somebody like Rosie O'Donnell talk about the physics of thermite and molten steel and base all of her distrust in government in something as incomprehensible as that, I'm still smart enough to understand that for a million reasons it's rude and counterproductive to merely mock her and appear to join in with the government who says one is either with the government or you're a kook. Now, to be fair to our position, the position we had previously taken on the program, I never took the government's side of the case. I would never align myself with either side because it was my position that it was irrelevant.
I essentially go with the government position simply because that's the one that's accepted by most people. But I'll argue from the standpoint that, you know, I'll argue any position on it in the sense that it doesn't really matter to me either.
He says at least these people have a distrust of the government based on something, even if it is irrational and nutty. The proper way for sensible pro-liberty people and voluntarists to deal with conspiracy nuts is to be nice to them. You can kindly tell them that you find things like analyzing building demolitions to be too technical for you. And then you can use the opportunity to point out things about 9/11 that make the conspiracy nut consider his own complicity in 9/11 and that he might need to straighten up his thinking about such matters. For example, you could point out that the illegal U.S. Standing Army, the CIA and others, had command and control centers in the World Trade Center, and without a standing military in Pentagon and an empire, there never would have been a pretext to claim that 19 patsies were pissed off enough to hijack airlines and fly them into the WTC and Pentagon. Incidentally, Mark, I love the way you handled that vet who was pissed off that you weren't grateful for his service. Why piss these people off over contrails and lizard people? That's not good radio. I can listen to Rush Limbaugh make fun of conspiracy kooks. Be sweet to them over their questionable ideas. Don't come off like you won't honestly consider what they can articulate in a few sentences in a call, which usually isn't much. Give them their due and fight with them about Mexicans and the unconstitutional military-industrial complex. That's good radio. And if they won't turn you off, and they won't turn you off if you limit the fireworks to those issues, because on those issues, they know deep in their hearts that they're wrong. Possibly because of all their conspiracy kookery, they know that the veterans only serve themselves and the politicians, and not the taxpayers. And they also know deep down that sicking the police state on Mexicans is only blowing back in their faces and enslaving themselves. So Mike says, and I think that we kind of came to this conclusion last week after much, you know, discussion over these issues, is that our old strategy of being mean to the conspiracy, the fringe conspiracy promoters, you know, failed. It failed miserably. You know, we were pushing back against them, and we got more of them. They didn't stop calling, so we're going to sweeten the pie, I guess, a little bit with these folks when they call in. And that doesn't mean that doesn't mean I'm going to tolerate them just calling in and running down factoid after factoid. I understand that's what some of them would like to do. They've got a whole list of, well, did you know the thermite and the million whatever facts that they want to spew out about 9/11 and their allegations. We'll let them come in with a fact or two. Their claims, a couple claims, and then
Free Talk Live.
You know, then we'll question them on it and we'll move on. We'll make our points without being mean and calling names. So fringe conspiracy promoters is now what they are, not kooks or crackpots. 800-259-9231. Of course, would love your thoughts on this. You can bring up whatever you want, and then maybe they'll listen to us a little bit better if we're not so mean. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule has been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex-C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex-C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex-C20 in the gold box today. Start losing weight the easy way. Dex-C20.
Alabama state code makes it illegal to drive barefoot. In Downey, California, it's illegal to wash your car in the street. In Minnesota, you can be fined for displaying that your vehicle is for sale. These laws are obviously not made to protect us, but instead to help states profit. The use of red light cameras is another great example. They intrude on your privacy, are unconstitutional, and cost you valuable time and money. SprayYourPlate.com is a spray-on photo blocker that protects against red light cameras, toll cameras, and speed cameras. One application lasts a lifetime, is undetectable, and each cam covers up to 4 license plates. Simply spray it on, let it dry, and you're protected. All orders are kept strictly confidential, and for the month of August, receive free shipping and a $5 bill enclosed with every order. Call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601. Or go to SprayYourPlate.com. That's SprayYourPlate.com. Don't give your money to the state. Spray your plate.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach. Let's go look. I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Nonex Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Nonex Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nonex Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Longs, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Philo, and Rite Aid.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lay's Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site there are free. So enjoy those on us, including the bulletin board system, the live streams, and more. Those other radio talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their websites, and we give ours away. Now, if you like Free Talk Live and you want to help support the show, you can become an amplifier. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com to get on board. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is you can help us get on more radio stations and talk about liberty and freedom in more places and have more people's ears listening to the program just by sending us $3 a month. Go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about it, and you'll learn about the perks you get access to, like the AMP-only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. Get all the details and get signed up at amp.freetalklive.com as we continue with your phone calls. It is Dave in Montana, apparently listening online. Hello, Dave.
Hey, yo.
Hey, Dave. I'm so glad you called, Dave. Dave, I'm so glad you called. You're the thing I'm going to miss the most about KGBT.
Hey, I broke down and got a laptop. I call it a flap top because it flaps open. I don't use it on my lap. I got it on a table.
That's good, too,
and
because
I
get hot.
And I got the quick online thing. My son's all happy now. He could play his games online and everything. I told him, I said, oh, we're going to modern up over here.
Was Free Talk Live a motivating factor in picking up that laptop?
Yeah, that was one of them, yeah.
Cool. Well, I can tell you, Dave, that our listeners were very concerned. Our listeners were concerned they were going to lose you, man, and so I'm sure they're happy to know that you're still listening.
It's like a bottomless pit, this thing, man. I brought the world into my living room now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was watching this video that I think somebody posted on the Free Talk Live forum about the fact that the World Wide Web, has only existed for less than 5,000 days. And the guy was talking about what was coming next, in the next 5,000 days of the web.
I want to be able to talk to this thing, and it does what I say. That's what I want.
That's actually...
I just happen to bump into being able to tune in on you because I don't know how to operate the thing yet, but I'll get.
But you figured it out. And, you know, practice makes perfect with these things. You definitely have to just keep trying new things. Don't be afraid.
I don't type. I'm a hen pecker, so it takes like 5 minutes just to write. FreeTalkLive.com.
Well, you'll get better.
We're glad you took the effort, and we're glad you're still out there. Do you have any comments for us, Dave?
No, I just want to say a lot of them people, man, are just like Congress. I said they're just hard-headed, and if you talk one thing about legalization of pot, all of a sudden you're just a pothead and they don't want to listen to you.
Yeah.
And
hey, Dave.
These people are the ones screaming freedom, and they don't understand there's 800,000 political prisoners because of a plant.
And sure.
It's crazy.
That doesn't include
and
the other 800,000.
That's going to be the clicker right there. Once we take care of that problem, maybe we start getting some freedom, man. Them people shouldn't be in jail
all. Absolutely, Dave. I'm with you. Mark, you had a comment?
Dave, you said you had a son, and you're a big marijuana legalization activist. I don't know that that means that you smoke it or anything, but we had somebody call in.
Well, hemp, the whole thing, cannabis,
right.
The plant, man.
Yep.
I know two people that committed suicide because the girls were on these psychotropic depression pills. And all they had to do was really smoke a big fat one, and they'd be all right. But you tell them that, and they go, but that's against the law.
Yeah.
And so they go out and drink vodka all night and take their depression pills, and they get more depressed, and then they don't like the way they feel on them pills. Then they stop the pills without going on the other crap you got to take to come off them, and they end up offing themselves when all they really had to do was smoke a big fat joint and get laid every once in a while and not worry about it, and they'd be all right.
Somebody ought to make you a doctor, Dave. That's some good advice. I appreciate your call.
And here they are trying to tell me that because I smoke a plant, they're going to take my house. If I grow it, they're going to take my house, take my kid. What are they, nuts?
These people
are crazy, man.
Yep.
And they're dragging us down into tyranny closer and closer.
Well, I'm glad there are good people like you out there willing to get on the radio
and talk some sense.
I want to
tell people, remember the rodeo clown, man. He charges the bull when everybody's running away, and that's what we got to take the spirit of the rodeo clown and charge the bull of tyranny. Every time
awesome.
You see it, every time you hear it, you speak, yell, scream, and practice freedom of speech. Everybody's trying to tell us to shut up.
This is an interesting analogy because now does the rodeo? I'm not too familiar with the rodeo clown. Does he in any way attack the bull, or does he just jump around?
It's when
stuff?
The cowboy gets in trouble, he gets hung up on the bull, and the bull's bucking and everything. They jump on the bull, they jump on his head, they try to tackle the bull, to cut the cowboy free. They do. One's jumping in front of them, the other one's jumping on the cowboy. They're wild men, and that's what we got to be.
Very cool, Dave. As always, good hearing from you, and we hope to continue hearing from you in the future.
Oh,
enjoy
yeah,
your laptop, sir. Yeah, it's good. The internet, good stuff. Thank you for the call, dude. 800-259-9231. So what I begun to talk about was this video about the next 5,000 days of the web.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just one guy's vision for, and he certainly knows more than you and I do, about what's happening. And he was talking about how the internet is essentially this machine that never goes down. I mean, we've never had in the history of mankind a machine that never stops. Like, you know, you build a car, eventually it's going to break down.
Right.
You, any other kind of machine, your individual computer is going to break down after it runs for long enough. But if, you know, individual computers come off and on the internet itself as a concept, as an entity, will continue to exist. And he was talking about all the different, the process, like sort of calculating how many computers are on the internet and what all that processing power totals up to and, you know, how much RAM there is out there and all of this stuff. And he basically came to the conclusion that the amount of processing power on the internet right now is roughly equivalent to the processing power of one human brain. And
really?
Yeah.
Human brains are that powerful?
That was what he suggested.
Okay.
Maybe I misinterpreted, but that was what I understood from his presentation. And so then he was talking about how the difference, of course, is our human brains are not doubling in their capacity every single year.
No,
and
no,
so
not.
It's at that point now, but
next year it'll
years,
be two brains.
Yeah, three, mm-hmm. four, 5 years out, you're going to see significant doubling of the power of this concept of the internet. And he was talking about what he expected it to.
Well, it's not double, but hold on. You said the processing power doubles every 12 months currently, and everybody doesn't get a new computer every 12 months.
No, that's true. But they do upgrade over time, and you know, it filters in. So
I'm still using a computer I bought in 2002.
Yeah, but you're thinking about getting a new one.
Yeah, this one's working now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Anyway, there are always new computers being purchased and entering into the marketplace, and old ones are dying and being replaced. So you know, the fact is technology continues to increase at this amazing clip. And he was talking about that all of the devices that we have now, our computers and our cell phones and these other devices that are somehow tied into the grid of the Internet, basically, are they're becoming less individual kind of workstations and becoming more tied into the Internet. We're seeing things like Google Docs or Google Email where you can go online and your email is stored on the Internet in this sort of vast nothingness that is also, you know, everything at the same time. Your Google Email is backed up, so if one of Google's servers crashes, they've got 10 other servers that are, you know, running to keep the service going. So your email can't ever be deleted unless you intend to delete it. There's no hard drive crash that can threaten that data. The Google Docs is sort of a similar idea where you can have a spreadsheet, for instance, or a document of some sort on the Internet. Again, it exists out in that realm. It doesn't exist anywhere on your hard drive. And you go and you can edit it online. You can, for instance, I could authorize you, Mark, to come in and edit that same document. And you can have different people come in and make changes to the same piece of work rather than having, you know, one copy on your computer and having to send that file to somebody else when they need it and, you know, that kind of inefficient way of dealing with things. And so he was talking about how these different Internet devices that we have are basically windows into that one machine. Yeah, sure, that machine is made up of a whole bunch of individual servers and people surfing the Internet, and different individuals are there part of that machine. But the Internet as an entity is this massive knowledge base that, you know, nobody could ever have envisioned even 10 years ago that this stuff would be possible. I mean, he made the point that who would have said in the mid-90s, if you came to them and told them what Wikipedia was going to be, that somebody was going to put a website online.
I wouldn't have thought that it would have worked.
Right.
Oh, come on. You're going to make an online encyclopedia anybody can modify?
Right.
That thing's going to be vandalized to the point that it's going to be completely useless.
Or who would want to go and bother? I mean, who cares? Why would you go to that one website to do all that work? Why would somebody spend all their time writing things?
The profit motive simply won't allow Wikipedia to work.
Right.
There's going to be somebody out there that can make a profit off of their encyclopedia. They'll create a better one, and no one will use Wikipedia.
So anyway, he was tying it all into the idea of convergence and that this is all... We're all just sort of this machine, this Internet machine is going to continue getting smarter and smarter, and then, you know, eventually AI will be born, and hopefully it'll treat us nice. It was pretty interesting, because at the web, less than 5,000 days old, and look at all that has happened so far, all of the information that's now at your fingertips and that we just take for granted. More coming up. You take control. Hour 3 on the way. Free Talk Live.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it. In precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
Are you